Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, on Friday, I beg your pardon, March 4th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening. An expelled member of the ruling ZANU-PF Party Youth League has challenged a First Lady Grace Mugabe to quit if she cannot stand the political heat.
My Mugabe, we are dealing with her in her capacity as a party member, a center for women affairs, not as a First Lady. If the First Lady has decided to join politics, then if she cannot stand the heat, she must just get out of the kitchen.
President Robert Mugabe says he will not back down on his decision to seize control of the diamond industry.
In a wide-ranging interview on state television, President Robert Mugabe said Zimbabwe has received less than...
And we'll give you a closer look at the role of the Zimbabwe National Army in ZANU-PF succession battles. These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. An expelled member of the ruling ZANU-PF Party Youth League has challenged the First Lady Grace Mugabe to, quote, leave the kitchen if she cannot stand the heat. Former ZANU-PF Mashonaland Central Youth Chairperson Godfrey Tsenengamu also charged that they were used to hound former Vice President Joyce Mujuru, who was expelled from the party for allegedly attempting to topple President Mugabe. The ruling ZANU-PF Politburo yesterday purged some members of the party allegedly linked to Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa in a move some analysts say is aimed at weakening the vice president and diminishing his chances of succeeding President Robert Mugabe. The ruling party spokesman Simon Kayamoyo announced the three-year suspension of War Veterans Minister Chris Mutswangwa, his wife Monica, and Women's League Secretary for Administration Espina Nari. The party has also expelled seven youth chairpersons and other party members, bringing the total to 16. Mutswangwa has indicated that he will appeal. Tsenengamu tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that his expulsion is unconstitutional.
There is no basis for appeal. I'm not going to appeal against anything because as far as I'm concerned, I'm still a legitimate member of the party. I'm not even bothered with these unprocedural and unconstitutional expulsions or whatever that they term them.
But there are these allegations that you insulted the First Lady. Is this true?
No, it's a lie. I didn't insult the First Lady because I'm a party member. In the party constitution, there is nothing like a First Lady. We have individual members. We don't talk of families. We don't talk of marriages. We talk of individual members. So when you are dealing with a my Mugabe, we are dealing with her in her capacity as a party member, a center for women affairs, not as a First Lady, because I would then be tempted to ask which number my family is if someone says to me, you have insulted the First Family, because we don't deal with families. So if the First Lady has decided to join politics, then if she cannot stand the heat, she must just get out of the kitchen.
The other allegation is that, as is being reported in the media, is that you are linked to a faction allegedly called Team Lacoste.
As far as I know, there is nothing like Team Lacoste. Team Lacoste exists in the vocabulary of Professor Jonathan Moyo. Even the term G40, it exists in the vocabulary of Professor Jonathan Moyo. Lacoste, for your information, is a fashion brand which originated from France.
That was expelled ZANU-PF youth leader Tsenengamu speaking to Studio 7's Blessing Zulu. Zimbabwe Democracy Institute Director Pedzisai Ruhanya tells Studio 7 for Zimbabwe's that the current pages are similar to what was faced by former Vice President Joyce Mujuru.
there's nothing new really about what's going on. This is a process that started fundamentally gathering momentum in the pre-Congress era of 2014, where Vice President Mujuru was fired. And she was fired with 9 provincial chairpersons, members who were in the Politburo, and the likes of Goche, the likes of former political commissar of ZANU, quite a number. So there's nothing really new. But what is interesting is that increasingly the president and his wife are running the affairs of both ZANU and the state using an orthodox ways, which in the long run may have an effect on the standing of ZANU, particularly post-Mugabe. But there's nothing really new. It happened to Mujuru. So why should we be surprised that it's happening to Mnangagwa? In fact, it is a big lesson to these people in ZANU that when people are doing things that are not right, people must stand up, people must speak out against evil things, against evil ways, against unconstitutional behavior, against undemocratic behavior. So for a lot of citizens, they're saying, no, let them burn.
But are we likely to hear Mr. Mnangagwa defending Mutsvangwa here?
I don't think he will do that. He has never done that in his history. He has never defended anyone, and he will not do that. He will not do that precisely because the person who is being is Mugabe himself. So people must not separate the activities of Grace from the activities of Mugabe. Mugabe and Grace are one, and Grace is fundamentally an agent of the president.
That was Zimbabwe Democracy Institute Director Pedzisai Ruhanya speaking there with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. President Robert Mugabe said late Thursday that he will not back down on his decision to seize control of the diamond industry. Last month, Mugabe gave foreign mining companies 90 days to stop work and leave the country. Sebastian Mofu reports for VOA from Harare that scaring away foreign investors may be the last thing Zimbabwe needs right now.
In a wide-ranging interview on state television, President Robert Mugabe said Zimbabwe has received less than $2 billion for what he said has been $15 billion worth of diamonds mined since 2009.
So where have our cars been going? And we have been blinded. Lots of swindling, smuggling has taken place. And the companies that have been mining virtually, I want to say, robbed us of our wealth. And that is why we have decided that this area should be a monopoly area and only the state should be able to do the mining in that area. You cannot trust a private company in that area, none at all. And we should have learned from the experiences of countries like Botswana, Angola, Namibia, etc.
Mugabe included the Chinese mining company Anjin in his indictment, a surprising move for some. China is a key investment partner for Zimbabwe. Officials have referred to China as the country's quote all-weather friend, unquote, since the US and European nations imposed sanctions in 2002 over rights violations and vote rigging. But Mugabe says he addressed his concerns about Anjin with the Chinese leader Xi Jinping on his landmark visit to Zimbabwe late last year.
I don't think it has affected any of our relations adversely at all. Don't think so. I told President Xi Jinping that we were not getting much from the company and we didn't like it anymore in this country. So we wanted it to go back. I told him that. Yeah.
Anjin is one of the 9 foreign mining companies now fighting Mugabe's move in court. The case opened this week in Harare. The government said last month that under the new system, the Zimbabwe Consolidated Diamond Company, in which the government will hold at least 50% equity, will now mine the country's gems. But Zimbabwean economist John Robertson says the government isn't actually ready to take over diamond extraction.
That is a nonsensical statement, because you actually need cash to do the job in mining. Now they do need capital. Now they do need to bring in the proper techniques that will extract the real value from what's available. And the money to do that isn't there. And the people who are supposed to bring it there are thoroughly discouraged by the fact that they've got to invest 100% of the capital, and they'd be allowed to earn an income from only 49% of that capital.
The government says this new system is in line with the broader indigenization policy, which since 2008 has forced foreign companies and land owners to cede control to black Zimbabweans. Sebastian Mofu for VOA News, Harare.
Thanks, Sebastian. State security agents have sealed off diamond mining fields in Manicaland province following an order by the government for most companies to shut down after they failed to register and join a proposed national company. Indications are that several illegal miners have been arrested, amid reports that some have also been killed by the police. Our correspondent Lloyd Amoyo reports from Mutare.
Marange villager Malvin Mudiwa, who is also chairperson of the local people's representative grouping Marange Development Trust, told Studio 7 the closure of diamond mining firms last week has created some problems for the community after security agents sealed off the mining fields. Mudiwa said a large number of villagers have been arrested for illegally mining diamonds, while several others have been beaten up by police for visiting the mining areas without state authority. He said there were unconfirmed reports that some people have died in the hands of the police. Mudiwa identified one of the people who was severely assaulted by the state security agents as Fungai Ziduche. Police in Mutare declined to comment and referred all questions to police headquarters in Harare. The current conflict has reminded villagers of skirmishes between local people and the police a couple of years ago, when the government started showing interest in the diamond fields. Several people were killed and others injured and displaced following accusations that they were mining diamonds illegally and selling it on the black market. James Mufumi of the Center for Research and Development, an organization with some interest in the extractive sector and human rights issues, said government's intervention last week was long overdue.
The activities for the past 10 years were alien to the communities of Marange and the citizens in general.
Mufumi urged state security agents not to use excessive force when dealing with illegal diamond miners.
Human rights abuses in Marange have been ongoing, either at the best of companies or the security organs that are operating in the area. We encourage the police, now that they've surrounded the area, to use due diligence and inform people that they must not come into the diamond field. But their raids in the communities must stop, because it's illegal for the police to carry out operations in the community, stabbing the community, in the end causing unnecessary abuses on members of the communities.
President Robert Mugabe recently admitted for the first time that the government has not benefited much from the gems in the past 10 years. Former Finance Minister Tendai Biti once indicated that diamond proceeds were not trickling into the national fiscus. These remarks drew scorn from President Mugabe's ZANU-PF party. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mutare, this is Lloydam Moyo.
Thanks, Lloydam. Meanwhile, former finance minister in the government of national unity and leader of the opposition People's Democratic Party, Tendai Biti, has scoffed at Mr. Mugabe's remarks that diamonds are being looted, saying he provided him with evidence that diamond funds were not reaching treasury and he refused to act. Biti tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that operations in Marange were always opaque.
These are the words and sound bites of a hypocrite and a dishonest person. When I was in government, I gave him the figures, I gave him the statistics, I gave him the secret reports produced in Brussels. I gave him the secret reports produced by the Kimberley process monitors, in particular Mark Bokstek, the Brussels compatriot, and Chikane from South Africa. And these reports showed that our diamonds were producing at least $2 billion per year, and we were getting nothing. I also gave him reports that showed that the alluvial diamonds in Manicaland were of an extraordinary find. In an average alluvial diamond mine or a Kimberley diamond mine, you get one stone, let's say 50 tons of sand or gravel. But the Zimbabwean ones, you get 20, 30 stones, which is extraordinary. But no one supported me. And the reason was very simple. ZANU-PF took a deliberate decision that the diamond companies should not give money to Treasury for fear that an MDC minister would perform and make a difference. And we also know that these diamond companies were paying rent to private individuals, some very private individuals, because once a thief, always a thief. So these guys are now singing the same song, barking from the same tree that I used to shout from. I used to sound like a broken record.
BT, are you surprised that no one has not been arrested?
I'm very surprised because you recall that Mugabe himself broke the news of Gudu's Masimiremba, allegations in respect of which $6 million had been lost from a Ghanaian company. You and I know that no one happened. And you and I also know that had Masimiremba been brought to the courts, he would have spilled the real beneficiaries.
That was former finance minister in the government of national unity and leader of the opposition People's Democratic Party, Tendai Biti, speaking there with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Access to information in public institutions in Zimbabwe is very difficult, according to a report launched by the Media Institute of Southern Africa, MISA Zimbabwe. The report titled Report on Information Dissemination Practices of Selected Public Institutions indicates that public institutions are not aware that access to information is a constitutionally guaranteed right. A member of the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on Media, Information and Broadcasting Services, James Maridadi, told Studio 7 in Harare that he hoped that the results of the MISA survey will make public institutions to provide the public with sought information. And now we take a look at regional and international news. The U.S. economy had a strong net gain of 242,000 jobs last month. Today's report from the Labor Department says the unemployment rate held steady in February at an 8-year low of 4.9%. The United Nations now says at least 25 people were killed and some 120 wounded in last month's attack on a UN civilian shelter in Malakal, South Sudan. An Egyptian student enrolled in a US flight school is set to appear in an immigration court in California Friday to face questions about whether he should be deported over threatening comments he posted on social media about US Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump. And dismissing his rivals as lying Ted and little Marco, Donald Trump fended off insensitive attacks from his fellow presidential hopefuls at a debate yesterday that comes amid deep signs of divisions within the Republican Party. During the debate, Florida Senator Marco Rubio, Texas Senator Ted Cruz, and Ohio Governor John Kasich took turns taking swipes at the New York businessman who appears to be marching towards the party's nomination. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. While the military and other security agents should be apolitical according to the country's laws, in Zimbabwe, they are heavily engaged in politics, and recently President Robert Mugabe said they were involved in a fierce succession war raging in the ruling party. Our reporter Ivan Chifera has the details from Harare.
Sections 208, 211 and 218 of Zimbabwe's constitution, which govern the operations of security services, including the Zimbabwe Defense Forces, forbid the military from participating in partisan politics or interfering in electoral affairs. According to Section 211, subsection 3 of the constitution, the Defense Forces must respect the fundamental rights and freedoms of all persons and be non-partisan, national in character, patriotic, professional and subordinate to civilian authority as established by the nation's supreme law. Section 208, subsection 2 of the Constitution, which outlines the expected conduct of members of the security services, stipulates that it is illegal for the security sector to be partisan and to further the interest of a political party. It reads in part, quote, neither the security services nor any of their members may, in the exercise of their functions, act in a partisan manner, further the interests of any political party or cause, prejudice the lawful interests of any political party, and that serving members of the security services must not be active members or office bearers of any political party or organization. End quote. The military has been openly involved in the politics of the ruling ZANU-PF party, and at some point when Mr. Mugabe's leadership was under threat from the opposition, army generals came out and declared that only those with liberation credentials would be allowed to rule Zimbabwe. The army has been used to campaign and run elections, and there's been heavy militarization of government departments and ministries. Experts say while all this is illegal, it has not been challenged because the security forces were carrying out services in support of their commander-in-chief, President Mugabe. Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights Senior Programs Manager Zimbabwe Chimbwa says the military has no role whatsoever in the governance of the country.
The army, the police and any other security apparatus should not be involved not only in the issue of succession but the issue of governance itself. That is left to the civilians in accordance with the constitution of Zimbabwe.
While concurring with Chimbwa, political analyst Dr. Pet Sairwanya of the Zimbabwe Democracy Institute argues that indications are that the military is currently siding with President Mugabe in the current succession fights in the ruling party.
But should the military decide to be belligerent, to be adversarial to President Mugabe, the leadership of the country, they will be thwarted without doubt, and they know it, and they will not do it, and it is not desirable, it is illegal, it is unconstitutional, and it must not be supported by any quarter in this country.
But Vivid Gwede, another independent political commentator, says with the succession fights intensifying in the ruling party, the military could think otherwise.
So we don't know whether this will remain the case, given that succession issues also have to do with the personal future of some of the leaders of the security forces.
Independent political analyst Fortune Gwaze, however, says he does not see this happening, adding that while it has happened in West Africa, it has never occurred in Southern Africa.
There are no indications or precedences as and when the military has defied a directive from the commander-in-chief, because that is tantamount to treason.
A member of the ZANU-PF Youth League, Jawet Mija, argues that Zimbabwe is a disciplined military that is respected on the continent and the world over. He says the military is therefore fully behind its commander-in-chief, President Mugabe, adding that there is nothing wrong if the military dabbles in politics for the good of the country.
Whatever their involvement in politics will be in the interest of the country, because they are there to protect the sovereignty of this nation called Zimbabwe.
Analysts agree, however, that the military could advise President Mugabe who to choose as a successor, and it is clear that they want someone who would protect their interests and preserve the Liberation War legacy. Succession fights continue in the former Liberation Party, with Mr. Mugabe's deputies Emmerson Mnangagwa and Pelekezela Mpoko aligning themselves to the two main factions. Mnangagwa reportedly belongs to the so-called Team Lacoste, which has the backing of most war veterans and the military, while Mpoko belongs to Generation 40, that allegedly has the backing of the First Lady, Grace Mugabe. Ms. Mugabe and Mnangagwa are believed to be eyeing the presidential post. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Uh, And time it is. Yes, it's time for sports news. The Premier Soccer League family will tomorrow meet to elect a new chairman to replace the departed Twine Piri. Reporter Michael Cariati gives us the story.
Diamonds and Islanders chairman Ken Mbaiwa and Peter Dube will go head-to-head for the Premier Soccer League championship post, which was left vacant following the ceremonious departure of Twine Piri. Dube, who was Piri's deputy, had been acting chairman since Piri was forced out of office by the new Zimbabwe Football Association authorities 2 months ago. On the other hand, Mbaiwa, who has been Dynamo's chairman for the past 5 years, is having his second attempt at the PSL top post following his humiliation 12-3 vote by Piri in the last election in 2014. Apart from leading the top-flight football body, the Premier Soccer League chairman also sits on the ZIFA board. ZIFA will conduct the elections Saturday. However, there is less interest from the public in that election, as they are more interested in action on the play rather than events off the field of the play. In fact, the Trump of the football fraternity has been the Zimbabwe National Army Charities Shield quarterfinal clash between Blower rivals Chicken Inn and Islanders at Barberfield Stadium Sunday. Chicken Inn are coming into the game after a gutsy Champions League performance, which drew them a lot of praise, including Mamelodi Sundowns coach Pito Masimane, who at one time coached the South African national team, popularly known as the Bafana Bafana.
But credit to this team. This team is a very good team. These are not fishermen or from an island. This is serious football, and they gave us a chance.
The last time Chicken Inn and Islanders met was in the Iziko Cup final, which Islanders won 1-0, but kept United fan Farai Matamba thinks the Gamecocks had too much firepower and ammunition for Koso.
The champions from last season, nothing much has changed. They are still playing very good football, and I'm hoping and expecting them to get through.
However, former Islanders vice chairman Mtweni Mpofu is not reading much into Chicken Inn's current form and says his team would be going all flat out for the title and the money on offer, which could be a major boost before the start of this season.
It gives us a chance to make sure that our coffers are beefed up.
Football analyst Andrew Rodzi is of the opinion that the team that scores first is going to sail through to the semi-finals.
It's a difficult game, but those teams are equal in terms of strength. So I think the first team which scores first will win the game.
The other quarter-final game is across the country at Rufaro Stadium, where Harare City will face the Green Machine of Cape United. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
We're the Sultans of Swing.
We're going out in style there with the music of Dire Straits with Mark Knopfler. And remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when our hosts Gibbs Dube and Blessing Zulu will be talking with listeners and experts about the contested diamond mining in the Manicaland province following revelations of a missing $15 billion in diamond money. And now a quick recap of today's top stories. An expelled member of the ruling ZANU-PF party, Godfrey Tsenengamu, has challenged First Lady Grace Mugabe to quit if she cannot stand the political heat. That's it for tonight, and now I'm leaving you in the safe and capable hands of Ntunga Milinkomo on the Ndebele News Desk. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.